Hillary Clinton reveals that she has COVID-19. Yeah, that happens to people, apparently. Jimmy Kimmel said while Hillary had a positive test, her husband Bill remains negative. Kimmel joked, "That's how deep we are into the upside down world. Hillary caught a virus and Bill didn't." Joe Biden traveled to Brussels this week. Kimmel pointed out, when Biden was a kid, Air Force One was a balloon. Hey, you guys know what today is, right? Amy Schumer is hosting the Oscars for some reason. Yeah, I'm planning on staying up late and adding a recap of sorts, at least a recap of the early part of the Oscars to tomorrow's episode. Curious to see how Amy does. USA Today caught up with Amy, who is, quotes, already happily proclaiming success. Schumer says, "I don't see how we can lose, honestly. We'll know we left it all out on the Oscar stage and that we did it. We're going to show what three women and two women of color can do." Schumer still hoping to get Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on the show. "I haven't given up hope, but I think it would be a good move. I want to go to sleep that night knowing that I did my part in raising awareness to some of the horrible things going on, including what's happening in Florida and Texas." Wanda Sykes is not so sure this is going to happen, saying, "Zelensky's pretty busy. I don't know if he has time for a little movie show." Amy has joked that she's preparing for the Oscars by drinking, although she's not planning on imbibing during the show. "But I'm known to start celebrating too early." She says the hosts are planning to toast to a hopefully successful show directly after. "Just the three hosts and a fancy bottle, even Opus One, if someone else is paying. If someone wants to sponsor us, we're up for that." Amy was on Ellen during the week and asked Ellen, because Ellen has hosted the awards twice previously, "Do you have any advice?" Amy said, "I'm not nervous, because I think that's what stand-up does to you." Ellen's advice? "Have fun." Gee, thanks, Ellen. Unheard.com, your home for comedy news, did an analysis of the Joe Rogan audience. They said Fox News is the most watched cable news channel in America. However, the channel would lose its top spot if the Joe Rogan Experience was included on the chart. Yes, if we included a Joe Rogan podcast as a news channel, it would beat it. Also, if we include the NFL as a news channel, the NFL would be the number one news channel in America. So I don't know what the point is here. But Unheard.com points out Rogan has an audience of estimated around 11 million folks. The research shows that that audience is heavily male. No shocker there. 72% of the avid fans are men compared to just 42% of non-fans being men. What is that stat? Isn't the population like slightly more women than men, like 50 point something to 49 point something? No? Yes. The audience is also young. 46% of the avid fans are aged between 18 and 34, and a further 23% between 35 and 44. Though Joe Rogan rejects right and left labels for himself, his audience leans right, with 46% of his avid fans identifying as Republicans and just 23% as Democrats. Williamette Weekly has done a series about Portland's Funniest Five. I'll pick at this over the next few days. They say Funniest Five, an annual poll in which members of Portland's comedy community vote for the funniest among them. One of them, Noah Watson. And they write, in case you're wondering, no, Noah Watson's parents have not seen the bit he does about them having sex. He'd rather you not mention it to him. Watson's first time on stage doing comedy was in high school for a final project for an English class. It went well, but he wouldn't perform again for years, not because he didn't want to. He didn't know how to go about it. He said, "I didn't know what open mics were. I thought if you're funny, somebody made you famous, and then you talked for an hour. I used to watch Bill Cosby tapes back to back and rewind them and start them over. I grew up conservative and Christian, so I think the stuff I wasn't supposed to be listening to was the funniest stuff that got to me. The first bit I did was 7 minutes long, and I'd written the whole thing out like a script. I was talking about bestiality. I made the bartender uncomfortable." The whole first year of doing comedy is humiliating yourself over and over. You got to break down your ego and any idea that you have anything important to say, because you find out really quick that nobody cares about what you have to say. Your job is to be funny. It's the hardest thing ever. I had to learn about laughs per minute. I used to have really long pauses and drag my feet a lot. I think anything that happens that makes you have to work harder to feel like you're doing a good job is good for creativity. Inside Hook caught up with Miss Pat. There is a fan of the show who is on Instagram. You know who you are. Yes, you. Who is in my ear that I watch Miss Pat's special on Netflix. Supposedly is awesome. Haven't had a chance yet. Inside Hook says, on the phone, Miss Pat is not unlike who she is on stage. Brash, honest, relaxed, and being able to turn her own personal history into a punchline. She's one of the most relatable women comedians out there today. Something like an uncensored mom version of Richard Pryor for Generation X. I like that description a lot. Beside her is her husband, who was one of the first people to believe in her when she was 19. Her husband encouraged her to get into stand-up comedy. Ms. Pan has a interesting history. At the age of 15, she was already the mother of two, selling drugs on the street before getting arrested multiple times. At one point, she was homeless. At another point, she survived two gunshot wounds. She credits her caseworker for encouraging her to get in a stand-up after seeing that Ms. Pat could make a joke out of anything. At 19, she met an army vet who inspired her to leave the street life and showed a way out. Ms. Pat said, "Oh, that's my husband. I was on the streets when I met him. He said, 'You never know what you can do until you try.' That was my Black national anthem. I played that same tune over and over. With so many people who turned their back on me, I was on the street with two kids. People could not understand what the hell he wanted with me." She talked about how she got her Netflix special. "I was at Montreal at the Just for Last Festival when Netflix's director of stand-up programming walked up to me and said, 'I'm going to give you a Netflix comedy special.' I don't think it registered. As I left Montreal, even before the deal was closed, I started working on it. I tried to put together the best album I could. I was able to pull in Wanda Sykes, who's hosting the Oscars tonight. I met Wanda through the comedy world. I knew she produced a lot of specials, so I went to her when I got the special. I wanted somebody Black to produce the special, and definitely a woman. Then we went and got Robert Townsend to direct it. One thing I love about Wanda is that when we talked about the project, we stayed up late at her apartment trying to tweak it. Then Robert took over. I met him once a week and had to practice 4 hours a day while on tour. At the time, I thought, 'This stuff is the stupidest crap ever.' But once the camera started rolling, I finally understood what Robert wanted to pull out of me. It was an album I already had, but I tweaked it. I usually run a stand-up set for a year, then I write a new album. And I was in the middle of writing a whole new album when this thing came along. I kept working and made it better. It just got real personal about how I was raised in Atlanta and how I was able to introduce myself to the world. This is me. This is where I come from. And that's why I say in the special, 'Open your eyes.'" If you'd like to support the show, there are two ways you can do it. One, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews, because I'm still drinking this iced coffee from yesterday. Now, have I been sitting in the basement for 27 hours now drinking the same iced coffee, or did I record Saturday and Sunday back to back? That's a question for you, but go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycommonnews, support the show, or you can become a premium subscriber to the show on Apple Podcasts for $4.99 a month. You become a paid subscriber, you'll get the episodes commercial free, plus early releases and some bonus episodes. One of the bonus episodes already released on the premium feed is Robin Williams Stories Part 1. $4.99 a month, premium subscriber, commercial free episodes, early releases, bonus episodes. Open up Daily Comedy News on Apple Podcasts. You will see the option. So, good news, but bad news. They were going to make a Father Ted musical, but now it's been canceled. If you don't know what Father Ted is, how do you describe Father Ted? Internet, help me out. Set on the fictional Craggy Island, a remote location off Ireland's west coast, Father Ted is the story of three priests that live together with their housekeeper. The show subverts parodies of lowbrow humor as it portrays nuanced themes of loneliness, agnosticism, existentialism, and purgatory. I love the show. It is hilarious. There is the young guy priest who I don't even think really wants to be a priest. There's the older priest that's always trying to run some sort of scam of sorts. Anyway, Father Ted is wonderful. And apparently they were going to make a musical, but now they're not. Why not, Johnny Mac? Chortle writes, because of co-creator Grant Linnem's repeated clashes with transsexual rights campaigners. Graham said, "My original bet was that the Ted musical was too big to fail. I simply thought, if they come after it, that'll be good, because then people see how crazy this is, how absurd and how censorious, how anti-female, how homophobic that this movement is." But he claims producers have rolled over to lobbyist demands and pulled the plug, even though the show had gone into rehearsal. Linehan said, "We have songs for every character. We have a great story. It was ready to go. And just because a group of people have decided that anybody who speaks up against this ideology is evil, they've just kind of rolled over for these people. No one is standing up for me." Linehan also acknowledged that his strident views have cost him his marriage. "The one thing about this that keeps me going is that I know I'm right. Sometimes something is so wrong that you have to say something, and if I didn't say something, I'd go mad. I'll tell you why other comedians won't stand up for me, even if they agree with me. Every comedian at the moment is living under a kind of state of permanent blackmail. Every comedian knows that if they step on the wrong side of a particular line, it could be this or it could be any number of things. There's a few hot button issues. We have to follow a certain line. If you don't, you'll be destroyed. I've been thoroughly canceled. I'll tell you how canceled I am. There were two programs called Canceled, and I wasn't on either one. That's how canceled I am." Chortle explained a little further. Linehan has been criticized for his views, including objecting to gender self-identification and for likening the medical transition of children to Nazi eugenics. In 2018, he's warned by police about harassment of a transgender activist and has been suspended by Twitter for repeated violations of rules against hateful conduct. Heavy topic there. I'm personally disappointed we will not get a Father Ted musical. So let's shake all that heavy stuff off and let's catch up with Piff the Magic Dragon, Who's that? Well, the VC report explains Piff isn't your ordinary dragon. Rather than guarding princesses, hoarding underground treasure, or fighting White Walkers from beyond the wall, Piff's been holding court at the Flamingo Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, where he does the slaying with his clever mix of comedy and amazing magic, assisted by his faithful Chihuahua sidekick, Mr. Piffles. VC reporter had some questions. One, how does one train to become a magician? Piff. I learned to cheat at cards before I learned magic. Thankfully, the skills are transferable, saving me from a life of crime. I started performing when I was 15, doing magic at bars and restaurants. Once, I asked a couple if they wanted to see a magic trick. The guy stood up and told me his wife had just asked him for a divorce. That was pretty awkward. I don't know if that story's real, but that story's funny. When did you adopt the Piff persona? What made you select a dragon? Well, in 2008, I went to a costume party as a dragon. No one was in costume apart from me. A friend said, you should do this in your act. You could be Puff the Magic Dragon. And I said, wait, I could be Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my older brother, Steve. And finally, what makes a Piff the Magic Dragon show different from other magic and comedy acts? The answer, there's a dragon, a dog, a showgirl, and an attitude. Enjoy the Oscars tonight. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like the show ad-free and early, premium podcasts on Apple Podcasts, $4.99 a month. See you tomorrow.